you will, turn in your Bibles tonight, Psalm 122. Psalm 122. I love this passage of Scripture here. In Psalm 122, verse 1. We'll just read verse 1. I was glad when they said to me, "Let us go into the house of the Lord." I was glad when they said to me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you tonight for this passage of Scripture. God, we ought to be excited. We ought to be glad when we're able to come to church. And Lord, we just pray tonight that we'll just be blessed by your word. We give you all the praise, for it's in Christ's name we ask it. Amen. I want you to imagine as people are traveling to Jerusalem, as they're going to the city of David, as they're going into Jerusalem, I want you to imagine the excitement of their lives, the expectancy of the people as they head to the house of the Lord to worship. Shouldn't we be glad to be able to come on Sunday morning to just worship God? You see, God's house is a place where God dwells. I know he dwells in each of our heart, but when we all come together, it ought to be a time of excitement, a joy, especially here on Sunday morning and Sunday night when we're able just to come and listen to God's word. So we're in God's house today on God's day, reading the word of God, singing the songs of God with God's people. And as we come to the house, I hope you were able to say this morning, I was glad when I got to go to church. I was happy to be in God's house today. You know, in God's house. Now, I want to talk to you. Most of you are saved tonight. Most of you are Christians. If you're not a Christian, well, I pray tonight that you'll get excited about it and you'll experience salvation. But look at this passage of Scripture. I can see one, as you're going into the Lord's house, there's something experienced. You know, when you come to the Lord's house, there ought to be a growth in our life. We ought to never leave this place the same as when we come in. It says, let us go into the house of the Lord. Let us go. You know, that ought to be what we tell people all week long about the Lord's house, what we've experienced in the Lord's house. If you go out there into the town and you talk about Jesus enough, you talk about the church enough, it will encourage people, it will excite people about going to church. I think of all the people that have dropped out of our church over the past 20-something years. I get to thinking back, wonder where those people are today. Wonder what happened to them. Are they still in God's house? Are they going to church on Sunday? Most do not go. Some come and they heard for a while, they were excited for the moment, and then they've gone their own way. Some people might be saying, or some of you might be thinking, why should we go to church on Sunday? What's happening at church on Sunday? Well, I tell you what happens. The church is founded on the person and the presence of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And he is the cornerstone of our lives. And as we add to God's building, as we add to the church that he established, and he adds to the church as he sees fit, our church grows. Now, you know, with all respect to Brother Teddy and the music and the ministry, you don't build a church on music, nor do you build it on the personality of the pastor. A church ought to grow within its people because of growth in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I couldn't sing anyhow, Teddy. You know, I heard this one time. Somebody said, I'm what they call a prison singer. A prison singer is always behind a few bars and never has the right key. And that's me. Well, you don't build your church on the personality of the pastor or the music director or anyone else. You know, a church has to be built on Jesus Christ. You see, I thought about one time, somebody told me, preacher, you know, you might be like W.A. Criswell and buy you a white suit. He had a beautiful white suit. You've seen him preaching. But my wife said, well, you know, that's W.A. Criswell, and you're not W.A. Criswell. She knows how to humble you. She said, besides, you look like a chicken salesman and you wore a white suit. So I didn't buy a white suit. Now, there's always gimmicks. I remember when I used to go to church, we had high attendance day. Y'all remember that? High attendance day, pack a pew day, all kinds of gimmicks. All you do now is mention you're going to have a barbecue at the church, and that packs a pew. But I read Vance Havner. I love Vance Havner's old books. Vance Havner said of a church having a Super Sunday. Now, have many of you ever heard of Super Sunday? Some of you had. Vance tells in his book that he had a church that's having a Super Sunday with Ed the Wonder Horse. And on that day, they had a horse, Ed the Wonder Horse, come to church. And the man asked him, said, Ed, what's one plus one? And the Wonder Horse, and he said, man, it's two. You know, the kids were just totally amazed. All the kids were looking at that horse and amazed that he would do it. He said, now, Ed, what's two plus two? And the old, four. The adults were amazed. And then the guy made the mistake and said, Ed, how many hypocrites are in the church today? Well, there's all kinds of gimmicks to get people in church. Well, the only way you can build a genuine church fellowship, folks, one that will last, one that will continue on when the pastor's gone or when the music director's gone or when whoever's there is gone, that one that will continue for time and eternity is growth in Jesus Christ, is to experience that growth in Jesus Christ in a person's heart. When you grow as a Christian, and you understand that you worship God, you go to church to worship God and grow in His presence, then you won't get mad and you won't quit. And you know, you wouldn't have to beg people to come on a special day. They just naturally come because they love God and they expect to meet God at the place called the church. Well, we need to grow spiritually. This needs to be a place where I believe the very atmosphere is conducive to spiritual growth. Now, sometimes I wonder about that. If we grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ, if we're getting that spiritual growth when we come, of revival and renewal, I believe if you come to Bible study time, you get that. I believe, I know our Sunday school class, I enjoy our Sunday school class because We talk about, a lot of times, it's amazing how many times I preach on a passage of Scripture, and it's exactly what we're talking about in Sunday school. And we get to discuss that Scripture, and we all grow from that experience. That's what Bible study should be. You know, when I was a kid, I don't know about you, when those kids were out here on Kite Sunday, when they brought all their kites, and they were out there flying, I sure wanted to be out there with them. You know, I wanted to get out there and fly a kite. I used to love to fly a kite. I mean, you know, we'd fix one up on a rod and reel, and we'd run in that line through, and we'd fly it on the rod and reel. And I'd run with that thing, and the air would catch it, and it would go up. And, you know, if the wind's not blowing, it won't fly, will it? It just won't move. Well, some of us are caught in a spiritual place every Sunday morning where you come in and you worship God and the wind of the Holy Spirit is moving in our life and everything is growing in your life. And then others come into the same building and they come not expecting a blessing, and sure enough, when they get there, the Holy Spirit's wind is not blowing in their direction because they haven't prayed that week. They weren't expecting a blessing. And I believe when you come to church and you don't expect a blessing, that's just what you get, nothing. I wonder sometimes why some people come out and say, you know what, I felt the presence of the Spirit of God there today. And then others will come out and say, man, kind of dead this morning, wasn't it? It's because the Spirit of the Lord had not blown their way. And my prayer is for our church is that the Holy Spirit comes as that rushing mighty wind, as it did in Acts, and blows across our hearts and our souls so that we will be revitalized, so that we'll be excited about the church. It's a common known thing that new church starts. When a church starts, usually they grow for about 5 or 6, 7 years, just according there, but they grow tremendously. I've noticed every year when they give out the baptismal awards, the new churches that have started, they may not be big in numerically, but new church starts grow real quick and they baptize a lot. Why? Why? Well, it's always like this. When something starts new, the people are excited about it. Amen? You get excited about it. That's the reason when I put it in a new restaurant. You can't hardly get in there for the first 2 or 3 weeks. But after that, it kind of settled down, and you can get in there and have your meal and go on. But in a church where people are excited and the Holy Spirit is moving in their life and they want to see growth, that church grows, they get out and they tell people about Jesus Christ, and that spiritual growth takes place and people come to know Jesus. But in a few years, that excitement begins to wear off. And not so many people are excited anymore. And they lose that spirit of excitement. We should never lose that. I was glad, they said, when they said to me, let us go into the house of the Lord to worship. We ought to be excited on Sunday morning to come to this place. Well, not only a church should go spiritually, but it should be a place where gladness of God is experienced. I was glad when they said unto me, you know, I don't know about you, but I look forward to coming on Sunday morning. I've always enjoyed Sunday morning. The things that make me so happy are when sinners are saved. Man, when I see a young person or an older person come to Jesus Christ, that excites me. When saints are active, that excites me. When people say, preacher, you know, I want to do this and I want to do that and I'm going to get out here and do this, well, that excites me. Because you see a heart that's on fire for God. And then it always excites me when the Savior is exalted. When He's lifted up, the Bible says when He is lifted up, He will draw people to Him. Now, let me tell you something. Sometimes we clap our hands. I've noticed we clap our hands. And there's nothing wrong with that. As long as you are clapping for God's praise and not the person doing the singing. I believe we always ought to exalt God over the human performance. And, I love to hear people sing. I get excited. And I love to hear our quartets up here. I love to hear the Texas Baptist men. They did a great job the other night. Ron and I got to go to Chattanooga, and we listened to some quartets and some singers there. They had a lady there that played the piano. She was probably, she was good. There's no doubt about that. She was good on that piano. I love to hear Pam when she plays this piano over here, and Jody and Carrie, and I got your name, girl. And Joanne, I tell Joanne just about every Wednesday night if I get a chance to come up here, Joanne, I appreciate you playing. I just love that music. I just love to come in here and hear the sound of the organ and know that God is being praised through the music. You know, but the joy of the Lord is the greatest. And the greatest means of evangelism that we have is the joy of the Lord in our life when we leave this place to go out into the world. When people see our lives full of joy, when people see our lives full of hope, You see, I believe they get excited about it. They may not say that when you tell them about it. You know, I'm bad, real bad sometimes. When I go through Walmart line or something and I just feel like it, I say, man, you know what? I went to church today up there at that First Baptist Church. Man, they had one of the best singing and preaching I believe I've ever heard. You know, I'll just go on about, do you go to church? If you ain't going to church, you ought to go up there and hear that guy. Man, he's good. I said, I come from that day just excited. I never tell them I'm the preacher. But you know, it don't matter. For if they ever come, they'll know that. And if they don't, well, I was excited about it. But you know, we ought to be that excited about church. And I've been in some churches where, you know, it's just cold, and I realize that. But we ought to be a church that's excited about the Lord. When visitors come our way, and we had a lot of visitors here this morning, that they were excited, you see. You know, I've been in some churches where, you know, well, we was in a church one time, and, you know, singing wasn't all that great. But you know what it was? If you just don't listen to, you know, the person so much, but you're listening to the words, how God blesses. And you sit there in your heart and you talk about, you hear, you're just praying and blessing God through that song and the words. Man, that's where it's at. You see, I believe evangelism is caught more than it is taught. I believe when you have a person that's really on fire for God, you have the friendliness of a church. When the people come in, the ushers greet them, and people greet them and shake their hands, and the countenance of the choir. You know, it's important. Brother Jay says sometimes that you look like you've been eating green persimmons. That's not what we want to let people see, do we? We want to be smiling for Jesus. And the choir's awake instead of asleep. That's always good to have a choir that's awake, you see. Well, that's the joy of the Lord. Now, he says, let us go into the house of the Lord. And I was glad when they said to me, let us go to the house of the Lord. Not only that, let this be a place where God is encountered. When people come to the house of the Lord, it ought to be a place where literally God is encountered. Now, folks, we need to be reverent in the house of the Lord. You know, I love this church. I was just thinking the other day, we've kind of slipped, though. You know, when we come into the house, I don't worry about the talking, the fellowshipping with each other. That's good. It's know that the church is alive. But let me tell you something. When the music starts and the singing starts and the prayers are ascending and the music's playing, it's a time that we need to be quiet. It's a time to cut out foolishness. It's a time to listen to the Lord. You see, this place ought to be a place of reverence, and God's house is a place of reverence. And sometimes there's so much unnecessary talking. There's so times that, you know, someone asked me one day, said, preacher, do you ever get distracted? Yes, I do. We ought not have to get up and go to the restroom for a 30-minute message or an hour. But we do. And every time someone gets up, or every time someone talks, or every time when we give the invitation, some leave, you may be hindering someone from getting saved. You see, that's how reverent it ought to be. We ought to be able, you know, I understand mamas having babies and babies crying. That's understandable. I understand mama's having to get up and go out, but adults, we ought to be able to make it. We ought to be able to worship God without those distractions in our life. And I noticed that more and more we become not as reverent. Someone asked me one day, said, why don't you go on in? I don't even bring a drink into here. This is God's house. I have water up here sometimes, but water's different, you know. But if we set an example, our kids will follow us. That's what I've always been taught. You have to set the example as church members. You have to, you know, my dad didn't believe in any foolishness. I guarantee you he was a sincere guy. All I had to do is look over to my cousin, crooked, and I got a whipping when I got home. Or he walked back there and got me by the arm and led me up to the front row and said, sit right there. You don't have to do that very many times until he embarrasses you to death. And you learn to sit still. But we ought to. It ought to be in our heart. You know, there's a time for joy, the Bible says. There's a time for everything. And then there's time just to sit and praise God. And if you want to stand up, well, that's fine. If you want to raise your hands, that's fine. But if you're talking, it ought to be praising God. If we're reverent, if we will reverence God, it will reflect our conversation. It will reflect our attitude. It will reflect our worship experience. And when people leave this place, they will say, you know, it was good to be in the house of the Lord today. I felt God's presence there. Then we need to recognize His majesty. Folks, how great is our God? I love that song. You see, when folks come to this church, I want them to go away from here speaking about God, not someone else that was going on in church that day. A place where God is encountered, where His name is exalted, and He is written upon our hearts. That's the reason we ought to be glad to go into the house of the Lord today. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, I thank You that it's good that we can come into Your house and just worship You. It's good that we can come here to a place where growth is experienced, fellowship is experienced, spiritual renewal is experienced, and reverence for You and Your name lifted up, so that we can say, I was glad when they said, let us go up into the house of the Lord today. Heavenly Father, if there's someone here tonight that's lost, God, I pray that they've experienced Jesus Christ in the songs and the Word. And Heavenly Father, if there's someone here that needs to get their life right, to renew their commitment to You or join this fellowship, Lord, I pray tonight might be that night. Lord, it's good to be in Your house today. And Lord, we expect great and mighty things to happen. For it's in Christ's name we ask it. Amen.